do, they would put it down, they would tie them down in order that the olal should stay in one place. So I asked the Gemara, what are you talking about? We can't learn it out from there. Amarle, Amarle Abaye Yahu, Koshal Menas Lahati Yahu. That's not a permanent knot at all. That is a kesher. That's a knot which is meant to be undone, meant to be untied. So the Gemara then concludes, we can't learn it out from there. We can't learn it out from the tying down of the Mishkan. Rather, instead, we learn it back and forth. But eventually, the Gemara learns it out from the fact that they used to tie the nets. They used to go fishing for the chalazon. The chalazon was needed to dye the tzeles. They used to go fishing, so the fishermen would tie up their nets, and that would be, that's how the Gemara concludes, that's the source of kosher in the Mishkan. But we cannot learn it out for our purposes. We cannot learn it out from the Mishkan, from the actual tying down of the Mishkan, because that was kesher menas lahatir. They tied it down for their duration when they were going to stay in that at that location, but then eventually they're going to move on. That's one Gemara. This comes up again on Daf Lamed Aleph on the days. There, the Gemara tells us, we have the following rule. The way many of you shown him understand this Gemara, most of the malachos of Shabbos have an inherent benefit, there's an inherent tikkun when one does that malacha. It's an inherent gain. One cooks something which wasn't cooked beforehand, now they're able to eat it, until now they weren't. One builds a house, we understand, until now I had a few pieces of wood, now I have a building. But other of the malachos are inherently, they're not constructive malachos, the opposite, rather than malachos hamakalkalin, they're inherently destructive. For example, korea, if a person tears something, usually that's a destructive act. So in order to be chayav, you have to be korea al menachlit, so I have to be tearing it in order to sew it back together again. In order to be chayav for soser, for destroying a building, it has to be in order to be bona, in order simply to destroy something. I don't want that house any longer. You're not chayiv for that. That is not considered a malachas, which is misakein. It's considered makalka. Now the Gemara then continues, in order to be chayiv for one of the makalkalin, not only do you need to do it on the naslasak in order to fix later on. The Gemara says there in the Lamed Aleph of the Beis that tikkun has to be in the same place or in the same object that I originally was destroying. So for example, the Gemara says there soser, in order to be chayav for a soser, it has to be not just soser menas livnos. I can't just have to be destroying in order to rebuild. I have to be soser al menas livnos bin komo. So Rav Yossi, soser al menas livnos bin komo have soser al menas livnos shelo bin komo lo have soser. It's only if I'm building this, knocking down that house in order to build a better one on that same place. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, I don't understand. How do we know that you're chayev for binyan at all? Again, let's take it back to the Mishkan itself. How do we know? Where do we find binyan in the first place? We find binyan from the Mishkan. He says, I don't follow. When Klal Yisrael knocked down the Mishkan, they took down the Mishkan. They took it down, seemingly not to put it down in the same place. They destructed it for one reason, in order to move on to the next masvot, in order to go on to the next location, and then reconstruct it over there. Gemara has a fascinating comment. It needs to be explained.
The
pasuk in Parshas Ba'alosva that says that since Klal Yisrael traveled through the Midbar, Pi Hashem Yachanu, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to travel, they traveled. They told them to stop, they stopped. The Anani Yaakov led them and showed them exactly when and where to go. That somehow is considered Soser Avanas Livnos Bimkomo Dami. It certainly wasn't the same exact place. They didn't knock down the Mishkan in order to put it down in the same place. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tal Pi Hashem Yaakov, Pi Hashem Yisod, it's as if Yisod is someone asking those Mekomi. What's Pshat in that line? What is Pshat in that line? It's not here. Okay, Rabbeinu Hananel explaining that Gemara. He adds the line. It's not on the Mar Mekomos. He adds the line, Al Pi Hashem Yaakov, Pi Hashem Yisod, V'Yitachin. And it was possible. She yomar lahem shuvu chonu b'makom shesartem. Maybe, I don't think this ever happened, but it was plausible that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell them to do what? In theory, they would have left to whatever place they were in. They would have left Moseros, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have told them, knock down the Mishkan, and 5 minutes later he would have told them, rebuild it in the same place. They were so dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have told them anything at that point, and if they could have told them, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them when to travel, maybe he could have told them, stay in that same place and rebuild it in that same exact location. So Rabbeinu Hananel learns, in other words, since it was possible, it was plausible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell them to rebuild it in the same place, even though I don't think he ever did, they always moved on, since it was possible that they would be in the same place. That's what Rabbeinu Hananel learns. We're going to learn, hopefully in the future, we'll learn some different ways of understanding.
And the simple pshat is just that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu defines the Makom HaMishkan, that is the Makom HaMishkan, wherever temporally it happens to be. And that would be the simple pshat in the Gemara.
The travel itself.
That regardless of where temporally it's moving, that's the Makom HaMishkan.
That's knocking it down. Yeah, but that's interesting. I'm surprised.
Much simpler pshat.
Much simpler than Menachem Hananel. We're going to offer alternatives as we go on. Okay. We're going to offer alternatives. So, even though we're presenting a different, in regards to Sosa, the Gemara comes to one conclusion. In regards to Kosher, the Achronim are even more bothered by something else. We could look here to number 9, for example. To number 9 in the Maror Mekomos, there's a discussion about the parasol, basically an umbrella. Some sofer, many of the Achronim, some sofer and the Nod Yehuda, they discuss how is it possible one would be chayiv min haTorah? Again, don't try this at home. We don't usually open up umbrellas on Shabbos for many reasons. But would it be a Torah problem? Would it be a Torah transgression if one would open up an umbrella on Shabbos? So the other reasons possibly that one would not be min haTorah. Possibly it's a moving ohel, it's a moving tent. It's a discussion within itself. But for our purposes, The post can speak about the following. When one opens an umbrella, they open it with having what in mind? To close it eventually, right? And certainly they hope that, even if today's a rainy day, hopefully we hope for better weather tomorrow, and we hope that that eventually the rain will go away and we'll close the umbrella. So when one opens up that umbrella, in a sense, even if one will say it's some form of binyan, at best it is what? It is binyan. It's a temporary form of binyan. Is it a melech miskayemis at all? In theory, if one would leave it as on its own, one could leave an umbrella open forever, and it would stay open until the wind gets to it. But otherwise, the umbrella per se would stay open. So the Chassam Sofer, he argues on the Nod Yehuda in this regard. The Nod Yehuda thinks it could possibly be a melech min haTorah. Sam Sofer says, impossible. How could you tell me it's a melacha min haTorah to open up an umbrella? At best, it's binyan l'sha. At best, it's binyan l'sha. And you'll tell me the Mishkan. You'll tell me the Mishkan. The Mishkan was different. And this was not something which the Gemara actually spoke about. The Gemara spoke about this in regards to Soser. So I'm going to ask Livnos Mekomo, but how about a more basic question? How about the building itself? The Mishkan itself that they built at every one of the stops, that also was temporary. The Mishkan, they built it in one place, they were going to stay there for whatever period of time, and they were going to move on. They were going to move on. So the Sam Sofer says, don't bring me any proofs from the Mishkan. We'll see in a second. This is a debate amongst the Yerushalmi. But he says, don't bring me any proofs from the Mishkan, because the Mishkan has what rule attached to it? Kevon, Zichziv, Al-Pi Hashem Yachon, Al-Pi Hashem Biso, command the Kvi Damir. It gives it a certain inherent Kvios, it gives it a natural permanence to it, which would not have otherwise. But don't bring me any proofs. Of course, Klal Yisrael put up the Mishkan. They didn't put up an umbrella. If Klal Yisrael had put up an umbrella, maybe the issue would have been different. Other poskim say they learned the conclusion of that Gemara the exact opposite way, and they say that, remember, we learned on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis in regards to kosher, what the Bavli had in regards to tying knot. What did the Gemara conclude over there by tying knot temporarily used for regards to kosher on that chayiv? But the Gemara never made such a statement in regards to building. Building, it seems like I'm chayiv. Even for building temporarily, the Gemara never was bothered by learning it out from the Mishkan. So seemingly, in regards to Binyan, you could be chayiv, maybe even if it's temporary. And this is not something I want to get into, but in theory, one could be machalik, one could differentiate between different malachos. For example, maybe kosher, the need for its permanence, because otherwise, what did I do? Otherwise, I tied my shoes, I did something very insignificant if it doesn't have permanence. In order for it to be considered melachas kosher at all, I have to do something of meaning, of stature, and it would have to last almost indefinitely. We'll see how long in a moment. But in regards to building something, even if it's going to last a day or two or three, that already has more meaning, more significance, even though I'm going to knock it down in the very near future. So that's the debate amongst the Achronim. Many of the Goli Achronim are involved. Sam Sofer against the Nobi Yehuda, the Mitziv on the side of the Sam Sofer as well, and the Arsameach on the other side of the Nobi Yehuda. Well, exactly how do we analyze this issue anyway? The Avnei Nezer, in number three here, discusses exactly how should we deal with it with these gemaras? Because when Klal Yisrael tied that knot, for example, in theory it definitely could have lasted forever. It could have lasted structurally in regards to the knot itself. It could have lasted indefinitely. But what? They knew that they were going to have to untie it when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to move. So V'isi b'shulte giborim shekosu v'shem hara'im. Their aim is really all Mizrachi. V'chol kesher shesafek im yanichen v'sham la'olam. Any kesher which may last forever, may or may not. We're not sure. O yatiranu pater avalaser. And one very simple way of analyzing this discussion that we're talking about right now, as to whether or not how to view the Melechas HaMishkan, the question is, when somebody does something, where they do something in regards to Melechas Shabbos, and I have no idea how long it's going to last. It may last almost forever. It may last a day. It may not, depending on. Regards to my own thought process, it could last forever, it could last only a few minutes. In other words, it's a suffix. You have a suffix. If you do it in such a fashion, would that be Minhat Torah or not? I should qualify within all of these discussions, we're only speaking on the Torah level, on the Rabbanon level, even if one ties a knot which could last for more than a day or 7 days in a Machlokas HaPoskim, but if I tie a knot, on the Rabbanon level, automatically that would be a problem anyway. That's why many people are mad when they do Glila and Mincha on Shabbos, since it could last, maybe at least overnight, it could last probably till next Shabbos, we'll use the same Sefer Torah, we try to tie a bow instead of a knot. That would only be a rabbinic prohibition anyway, but I should note that we're speaking on the Torah level here, not on the Rabbanon level. So one way of analyzing this entire issue is a discussion about if one does something and misafek. Misafek is going to last. We don't know. So would one be chayiv for that or not? And you could answer, you could say yes, you could say no, and we understand both sides of the equation. And if one, and that would fit very much the thought process of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel understood the issue of whether or not Kesosam and Aslim Nosim Kolmo, because it's Yitachin, it's possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell them to tell them to stay there longer, tell them to move on. Klal Yisrael simply had no idea, and that's one of the tremendous things that that we learned from that parasha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word, total bitachon and total, they gave themselves up entirely to whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was leading them. The Rishalmi, however, in all of these issues, takes a different approach. There's actually three different Yerushalmis here. We could look at number 4, number 7, and there's a number 13, which is actually not on here. So, there are three different Yerushalmis. Number 4 is Makshira Haisa B'Mishkan. So the first opinion says, so you kosh minisam meisveyim. They would tie down, as the Babli said, they would tie down the knots of the tied to the pegs. Amar Rav Yosa, that can't be mikivan. I'm sorry, ask the Gemara of Lolasha. How you saw, wasn't that only temporary? The same question that the Babli asked. Amar Rav Yosa, the answer is mikivan to yuchonin v'nosin al pi hadibur k'mo shehu l'shah. Since they were traveling upon the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it should be, the word should say la'olam, I think. This is a mistake, I think. K'mo shehu la'olam. I think it's a mistake in the way the Maharal says it. K'mo shehu la'olam. It should be, since they were traveling upon the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if it was totally la'olam. And the Gemara then continues and says, no, it's the Rav Yasa, it's Machlokes Amoraim in that Gemara. Rav Yasa and Rav Yossi. The other opinion says, what do you mean? Tal Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already Mavtiach, was already assured them that what? That Klal Yisrael knew they were headed to where? Kibun Shevtich, Van Shevtich, Yemach Nisan, there it says, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu assured them already that they're not just staying in the Midbar forever. There's a purpose to this journey, there's a destination. They're not staying there la'olam. So the first opinion is what? First opinion is kivon nefsid al pi Hashem yachnu al pi Hashem yisol. Then it's a kesher shel kayama. It's a kesher of permanence. The second opinion is what? Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's definitely not a kesher shel kayama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu assured them that they're headed into Eretz Yisrael. Machlokas number 1. Machlokas number 2. Not found in these marmakomos. It's also in the same area in the Yerushalmi. It's Perek Zayin, Aloha Beis, and Shabbos in the Yerushalmi. Ma binyan haya b'mishkan. Where was there building in the Mishkan? Shall you know sin krushim al gabi adonim? Again, that they would put the boards of the Mishkan into the sockets to build the Mishkan. So they ask the Gemara, same basic question, Velo, Lisha, Haisa, wasn't that only temporary? Amrav Yossi, Mikivan Sheikhonim, Vinosim, Altiat Piadibur, Kimi Shehi La'olam. Since it was done, Piadibur, Piashem Yachad, Piashem Yiso, therefore, it's as if that each and every staff it was la'olam had it was permanent. Amar Rav Yossi be'Rav Bun, you can't say that. The same exact retort. Mikivon she'eftichom HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'machnisom la'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already assured them that there's a destination they're going into. Eretz Yisrael, k'mi shehi l'shah, and it must be from the fact that we learn binyan from there anyway. That you're even chayiv for binyan, which is what? which is temporary. It's the machlokes that we explain between the Noz Bihud and the Nachsam Sofer was really a machlokes 2 days in Yerushalmi. But it's the same, it's to point out already, the same two Amorayim, the same two people who are arguing in regards to kosher, tying whether or not the Mishkan was permanent or temporary. They're also arguing in regards to Binyan, whether or not it is
permanent
or temporary. Thank you. So the third Gemara as well, where this comes up. Since in theory, until this point, you could say that the definition of what's considered permanent and what's considered temporary is the same for Binyan and for Binyan and Kosher, the both Malachos of Shabbos. And we would understand that. We would understand that you could be machalik, as we saw some poskim did. But we could also understand that the two would be totally, it would hinge upon one another. It would be the same achlokas. But there's a third issue as well. There's another halacha of Shabbos besides the malachos of tchum Shabbos. One's not allowed to go outside the tchum. Tchum is, for our purposes, probably for most almost all opinions on the Rabbanon level, is one's not allowed to go 2,000 amma outside their city. And according to many Rishonim, the Rif, the Rambam as well, learns that going 12 mil, gimel parsa, outside, traveling gimel parsa, about 12 miles, 12 mil would be a Menhatorah. And where do we get that share of 12 mil? We learn that share out from the Machane Yisrael. That was the size of the camp, where Klal Yisrael's camp in the Midbar. We learn out that size from there. So the Gemara asks in Erevin Nachman Hayamid Beis, which is number 5, Amar Rav Huna, let me take a step back and explain first. The rule is, one has the area, so to speak, 2,000 amma outside the city. But one thing which is really, most of us live near their homes, generally we don't have an issue with tchumen at all. We could all go to shul usually without asking too many questions. Why? Because we live in populated areas, and the tchumen don't even begin for us. The entire city is one tchum. It's one makom. It's one area. You don't have the discussion to begin with. However, that's only if one lives in a city. If one lives in a country, right, where there are probably more houses now, but the Gemara says, Yoshvei Tzrifin, people who live in huts and tents, they ain't lahem elam yipesach batehem. They don't have the whole city. What city? Whose city? Even if there are many, many, many tents there that are around, there are many people who are living there, but there's no establishment of a community, there's no city there. There's no city, so they could only walk the 2,000 amma from their own front door. So he asked the Gemara, what do you mean? Masir Rav Chista, Vayachnu, quotes the Pasuk in Parsha, in Matthew? Vayachnu al yard in Beis HaYishimot. Amar Rav Barchana, Zidhi Chazideh, who asked Rav Tlasi Parsi, Tlasi Parsi. This is the shear of Gimel Parsos, of 12 mil. Tanya, that tells us the Machane Yisrael was 12 mil. Tanya, in order for them to use the facilities, go to the bathroom, they didn't use it in the Machane Yisrael itself. They had to go to the other side of the Machane Yisrael. They went all the way back, almost the full 12 mil, in order to go to the bathroom. Quite a distance.
Sometimes they didn't measure me Pesach Batei.
Right, so obviously, what the Gemara says to them there, so Elamai, and the Gemara proves as well from the fact that they also went to learn Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu and the Machane Levia. So wait a second, how could they even move? All they should have had is what? They don't have a city. All they were a bunch of tents. They didn't build luxury homes in the Midbar. They had tents. So what? How were they able to move at all? Amale Rava Digle Midbar Kamra Kivan Dirsiv Al Piashem Yachanu Al Piashem Yisau Kiman Dikfi Lahudami. Since, again, quoting the same pasuk that we learned until this point, we shouldn't view them as regular tents. Kivon Tuxid Al Piyashem Yachin Al Piyashem Yisrael, they're traveling upon the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's permanence to this. There's permanence to this. So in theory, you could read this same line exactly that Rabbeinu Hanan learned it. Because what? That no one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have them stay there forever. These are not just regular tent dwellers, that they could be in these tents for the next 100 years. But Rashi has an entirely different approach of learning this. He says, Kivan Zuxiv al Pi Hashem Yachanu Chashuva hi Chaniyasam Yos Nidonat Kebach. What he learns is, since they're following the word of Rosh Baruch every step of the way, every camp, this isn't just, they're not just to be viewed as a bunch of wandering travelers through the Midbar who are dwelling in tents. Every step where they went had a chashivos, had an inherent importance, had an inherent significance. They're being told that there's part of the way to go. They're being led by the Shechina. We also need don't ask keva, to view them as permanent. But surprisingly enough, the Rishalmi, who had the same Rav Yossi and Rav Yassa, who argued in regards to the Mishkan, whether or not it's Binyan Lishah, whether or not it's Kosher Lishah, they argue here as well. So once people start arguing, there's already Ir Shehi Benuya Ohalin Kol Echad VeEchad Modeh MiAllah. This is Os number 7. Ir Shehi Benuya Ohalin, it's a city of tents. Each one measures from only their tent. Hayusham Shlosha Tzrifin Shlosha Borgin Mogdim Rachitza. Okay. Yes, the Gemara. Hoksiv Ravasi. But Hoksiv Yad Tiel Lecham Yichus Lamachana. It says again, in order to go to the bathroom, they would have to go to the other side of the outside of the camp. Hey, Chayu Niftin Lachos. How could they go outside? Similarly, Rav Chia Berei the Rebbe Shok say Machri. Hey, Chayu Yotzim Leisim Beis Midrash Al Shamosh Rabbeinu. Shoslam Shok. Okay, I don't have the whole Yerushalmi here. It's quoted. Plus base, I can find this quickly. It quotes basically the same exact machlokas as we've seen. Shows the makshi hecha yotzim beis midrash of Moshe. So the first opinion is that Moshe also lehen shlosha tzrifin shlosha borgnin. First opinion is Moshe created for them permanent structures. He had to. There was no choice. They didn't very well. There was no choice. What they had to do was what? They built homes. They built condos. They built things in the Mishkan in order that there was permanence, in order that they were able to travel to Moshe's tent and come learn, or able to go to the bathroom outside the Machaneh. They had to build permanent structures. And the second opinion is what? It's the same exact Amoraim. Amar Rav Yossi Be'Rabun Mikivan Sheftichon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemachnison La'aret K'mi Shehi La'olam. Here's exactly the exact. Interesting. The other, K'mi Shehi La'olam. Since he's taking them into Eretz Yisrael, this switches things around a little bit. K'mi Shechnison La'olam. But in this purpose, when take this Maramakom, what it's basically saying is that Klal Yisrael, when they traveled every step of the way, there was an inherent purpose, inherent significance. Just as a quick mashal before I go on to explain this, as a quick mashal, the Gemara says, for example, we learned that Koshom and Aslahatir is only Midrabanim. The Gemara says in Misach HaShabbos, Tachkuf Yer Aleph, a person who makes tzitzis, a person who never doesn't have tzitzis, tzitzis fall off on Shabbos, they snap on Shabbos. So what could he do? He's wearing a beged, and the Gemara speaks with. They have to take off his beged. We wear an extra beged. That was their main garment. They would have to take off their tzitzis. So the Gemara, you can't do anything. You're stuck. You can't make new tzitzis on Shabbos. Mitzayah is tzitzis, tzitziyosto, betaliso, but Shabbos is chayiv chatos. I asked him in Chastanuch, I asked the Prima God, there's a very simple solution. All you should have to do is what? Make the tzitzis on Shabbos, and have in mind that Motzei Shabbos, I'll undo it, I'll redo it again tomorrow. do it in a fashion to kesher manas lahatia. That's the Prima Gadim asks this question, Minchas Chinuch, and the Minchas Chinuch quotes one of the Achronim who explain, you can't say that, why not? Since the din is kesher elyon min ha-Torah, that's top knot of the tzitzis, is an absolute, there's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to fulfill it. So even if it's a kesher manas lahatir, it has an inherent significance because if you're fulfilling that mitzvah of shiras tzitzis and making tzitzis through that mitzvah, it has an inherent purpose. It has an inherent kfios. It's an inherent miskayemes. Even though if tomorrow you're gonna take it right apart. Kivon tzitzir al pi Hashem yachol, pi Hashem yisol. Since we're following the word of Kadosh Baruch Hu every step of the way, that gives it an inherent kiyum. And we'll add a little bit of the depth to this. The Shvisas HaShabbos is one of the Talmidei HaGrav, Yitzchak Malachan, I'm pronouncing it right. The Shvisas HaShabbos is one of the classic Seif Svarim on going through the Malachos. He goes through much of the Halachos and some of the Lamedes behind the different Malachos. Again, one of the Talmidei HaGrav, so he has both the Halacha as well as some of the Kabbalah angle, quotes from the name of that Rizal, Mishum Shekol Makom Shayuchonin, this is number 8, by the way, Shekol Makom Shayuchonin Bamidbar Hayusham Avir Shal Eretz Yisrael VeHamikdash. Whoever Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, they were traveling with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas Mikdash. Alkein Choshev Sosom Menas Limnos Bimkomo. And that's how they understand that line of Sosom Menas Limnos Bimkomo, is wherever they're traveling. Things that we suggested before, wherever they're traveling, it's not just simply because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Rabbeinu Hananel said, Yitachein, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell them to replant themselves, to rebuild themselves in the same exact spot. But no, but it's as Rashi said, Kivon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the traveling constantly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they get that significance, they get that chashivas wherever they are going. And halakhically this has significance as well, as we learn the beginnings of Parshas Bamidbar, Parshas Noso, that the din of Shiluach Machanos, let's say people are Tmeim, the same halakhos which apply to the Mishkan, as Klal Yisrael was traveling, it was the same exact halachos which applied to the Beis HaMikdash. There was the Olam Moed, which had one kedusha, the Machane Leviyah, the place where the Leviyim were. In the Midbar, it was paralleled where the Azara was in the Mikdash proper. Similarly, Machane Yisrael, Klal Yisrael's camp in the Midbar, had the same exact halachos as Yerushalayim Yerakodesh. And what the Arizal is basically saying, that Hak Mishas Mikdash is manifest truly lahalacha in the sense of the people who are the same levels of Tmeim, the same level, the same places we can eat kachim regard, we can eat kachay kadashim in the Azara, they can eat that in Machane Leviyah. On the other hand, the same halachos in regards to Kachim Kalim could only be in Machane Yisrael. Could be in Machane Yisrael. It paralleled 100%. Okay, I think number 10 is supposed to be, instead of Bereshis Rabbah, it's supposed to be Bamidbar Rabbah. So, Bamidbar Rabbah, the first Midrashim in this week's Parsha discuss. To add a little bit up, to show where this is coming from, that the Medrash writes, this Medrash here is, I'm sure, the most famous story, that certain Gadol was given a series of Marmakomos, and he was able to put it together, it had nothing to do with it, to tie it into the Shiur. So I'm not sure I'm able to tie number 10 in some way. If anyone has any ideas afterwards. The Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, Aleph is there. He says that Klal Yisrael went out into the Midbar. Kamidbar Ayisi Machem was that I actually treat you as if you were in the Midbar. It's not at all. Every place you go, you had the Mon, you had the Slav, you had the Beresh Miriam. Klal Yisrael basically Klal Yisrael had, look at them, what the Medrash is telling you there, the entire point, what it's trying to say is you think you're in a midbar, you think you're basically Yoshvei Tzrifin, you're living there in a temporary fashion, but in essence, Klal Yisrael went throughout the midbar, it was really, they weren't treated at all like the midbar. And Rabbeinu Bachaye elaborates on this, Kedelik Boa, number 12, Kedelik Boa, why did it repeat at the end of say, Parshas Maaseh? It repeats all the travels that Klal Yisrael had. Kedelik Boa, Shelo Hayu Holchem Amidbar Ketoim Unevolchem. They weren't traveling like wanderers, were straying around. Avol Hayu Misangin Bo Vahilu Daisi Pukim Yosim and Hashoknim Biyishol. They had more than people would have if they were living in a city. For them, that was a city. We learned Dinei Rishus Harabim out from Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. That became the metropolis for them. And this is the Sfas Emes. This explains this there as well. It's about Pi Hashem Yachanu, who explains that exact pasuk. Hainu Shev Gam Bepchinas Hamasol Sebrichos Shehayu Barchem Yimakom Umakom Kol Zeh Hayu Aslam Hamenucha. Even though every way, a step of the way, they're traveling, and you would think they're running, they're moving, they're Torah. Instead, every masa that they had was the Menucha. That's why it repeats Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael. And it's a couple of areas where this manifests itself. One, tremendous food for thought. For example, how this parallels Klal Yisrael's stay in our own Golos. On one hand, do we say Klal Yisrael, every community that they build, so they build Bate Knesios, they build Bate Midrashos, and they build them Kedusha, Vatayram, and they put a lot into it. On the other hand, it's all, on one hand, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael, we do it to be Mekayim the Mitzvos. On the other hand, Chazal tell us, but the Knesset of above Al Tanayim Omdin. We know eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashiach us to be Machlis on Aret eventually in a little bit of a longer fashion, but we know that eventually Klal Yisrael is not going to be in this Midbar HaAmen forever. We know eventually Klal Yisrael will be taken out of this. So how do we evaluate the, let's say, Kedusha of Bat Knesset? That's a fascinating to think about based on this. On the one hand, Klal Yisrael was traveling temporarily throughout the Midbar. It's definitely temporary, because Baruch Hu isn't being machnis. On the other hand, there is an inherent significance wherever Klal Yisrael is, wherever they travel. And finally, we'll conclude with what the Medrash says, also in this week's parasha, that says Klal Yisrael is given be'esh b'mayim u'b'midbar. It's given be'esh. A tremendous fire, it was water is a source of life. It also concludes it was given by Midbar. The third quality that it was given is it was given in the Midbar. Why is it given in the Midbar? And Chazal explained that a person, in order to obtain Torah, he has to make himself hefker, kemidbar, he has to make himself ownerless, a place not already which has a yeshiva, which already has their own ideas, which has their own thoughts, which has their own yishuv, rather they have to be living, so to speak, al pi Hashem Yachanu, al pi Hashem Yisrael. Then already they're able to make a yishuv out of anything, wherever they are. If we're able to add a direction, to add meaning, to add purpose, to add significance, to add kiyum to everywhere that Klal Yisrael is, and the only way to do that is given by Midbar, by making ourselves hefker to Midbar.